This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There was an experiment recently done with a group of people in a well-known city in America. And what they did is they presented to people two different kinds of cakes. On one of the cakes, it had a sign, $15. On the other cake, it had a sign, $55. And what they would do is they would try to see what people's reactions were when they had this type of cake. Which one would they prefer and why? And they found that they would first give them the $15 cake. The people would say things like, oh, this is so dry. It doesn't have enough frosting. Oh, it's not moist. I think the ingredients are cheap. And so on and so forth. Then they would give them the $55 cake, the sign that said it had $55. And when they would eat that cake, what do you think they would say? Wow, what an amazing cake. This is the most moistest, most blessed cake I've ever had. Some of them said, this is the best cake I've ever had. And then they would ask their feedback. What do you think we should do? Should we sell? Which one should we sell? Or what's your general criticism and feedback? They would say, for sure, don't even sell the $15 cake. Why would you do that? I mean, if you're making a cake that's $55, why would you even waste your time? And then they were given a bit of information right after that. They would be told that the cakes are exactly the same. There's no difference between either of the cakes. They're made with the same ingredients, in the same oven, at the exact same time, with the same level of frosting. Everything is exactly the same. The only thing that changed is a sign right over the cake. One says $15, the other one says $55. Now something even more peculiar. Some of the people literally said, you're lying. I can't believe it. I actually physically taste that the $55 cake tastes better than the $15 cake. And what they found in the psychological experiment is that human beings, when they value something, they have more satisfaction with it. Psychologically, physiologically, when you find value in something more than another, you will intrinsically convince yourself even if it's not, that this will make you content and happy. Ajib. This is exactly how creation of the human being was made. That when we are told, look at this thing, the $55 cake, it's probably made with better ingredients, that's why it's $55. Or maybe the maker of the cake is some chef in some world-renowned French institution who made the cake, or some other value that crosses in your mind, even though it may not be true. You find more satisfaction in that because of the value that you gave it. You find more satisfaction in that, and therefore you find more contentment. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us of this factor within ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about this and how this one facet of what we give value to may drive humanity away from what gives true contentment and true happiness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this in the conversation that shaitan had with Allah azza wa jal and how shaitan would try to deceive human beings in this conversation in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that conversation by saying, لعنه الله وقال لاتخذن من عبادك نصيبا مفروضا ولأضلنهم ولأمنينهم ولآمرنهم فليبتكن آذان الأنعام ولآمرنهم فليغيرن خلق الله ومن يتخذ الشيطان وليا من دون الله فقد خسر خسرانا مبينا. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, Satan is cursed, far from the mercy of God. He said, when he found himself astray, and the only solution he has for himself is, if you can't be saved, then let's take others with me. He said, I will take hold of a certain number of your servants. What will he do? Pay attention. He said, I will certainly mislead them and delude them with false hopes. False hopes. There's more value in this. There's more value. It will make you more happier. There's more value in this other person that you're not with. You'll be more satisfied with them. There's more value in this other faith than Islam. Why are you on this? This level of deluding false hopes is what shaitan promised to busy us with. Trying to find value in things that may not give us contentment or happiness. And he continues on saying, and I will order them and they will slit the ears of cattle. The scholars mention what this means is that human beings will actually change the creation in order to try to please themselves. What does that mean? If you look at the food industry today, what is the leading cause of many of the cancers that we are going through? It's the unfortunate change in the food production industry. They found out that all of the steroids and all of the hormones and all of the things that we've done in order to fatten up those cows and those sheep and those chickens, where they literally can't walk, to the point that you're consuming poison in your own body. They will change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he continues and says, وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. And I will command them and they will change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is animals, the other change because of lack of satisfaction in what we value is within our own selves. The number one surgery in America is not heart surgery, is not because removing tumors, is not anything related except to semi-permanent operations to make your figure changed and better. They will change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the most asked questions that we get. Sheikh, what is the ruling on Botox? What is the ruling on changing lips? What is the ruling on plastic surgery? What is the ruling on making me different because I don't find value in how Allah created me? Or I'm not trying to fix something that was deficient. Rather, I'm trying to seek value in the eyes of others, thinking that will bring me contentment or satisfaction. This is promised by shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever takes these hopes and these false vain desires that are brought by shaitan, then they will be of those who went surely of loss. They will lose themselves. They will lose their families. They will lose their meaning, and obviously more importantly, they will lose the idea of what it means to be content and happy. One of the most beautiful things is that the Quran was directed to the Prophet ﷺ in bringing about solutions to things before it was directed to anybody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly speaks to the Prophet ﷺ about how to deal with this. How do you find value in things? And how do you not strain yourself in chasing things that you may think give you happiness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his Prophet, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَىٰ مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ وَرِزْقُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet ﷺ first, do not strain your eyes in longing for things that we have given to some groups of this world, in this world, the splendors of this life and the joy and the world material gain, which we test them with. Don't strain your eyes. Don't strain your eyes chasing what somebody has and you don't. Don't strain your eyes chasing a figure that someone has and you don't. Don't strain your eyes chasing someone else's spouse that you don't. And even more than that, the final level, don't strain your eyes in even another faith that you don't have and thinking that it's better than what you have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this, the provision of your Lord is better and more lasting. So how do we find value in things that give us contentment? How do we find value in things that give us contentment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes something very interesting. He talks about how the Quraysh in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, what was their pride? What did they boast about? They're not much different from us. They're still human beings at the end of the day. They still boasted about their Teslas, right? The Quraysh Tesla, you heard about that one? Right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about they used to be prideful and boastful of their riding animals, their horses, that now some of them equal up to $15 million in our time. So what about then? And these red camels that each of them now, I think the last one sold for $45 million in the UAE or something crazy. The point being is, they boasted about their rides, they boasted about their wealth, and they boasted about their children, who had the most. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the Prophet ﷺ came to them, and he was a man who was of status in the society, but he didn't have any of this stuff. They said, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. And they said, why was the Qur'an not sent down upon a great man from one of the two cities, Mecca or Taif? A man who has status, a man who has cars or horses and animals, a man who has wealth. Why this man? Why not from Mecca and Taif? Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi says, وَهَؤُلَاءَ الْمَسَاكِينَ قَالُوا مَنْصِبُ رِسَالَةَ مَنْصِبْ شَرِيفٍ فَلَا يَلِيقْ إِلَّا بِرَجُلٍ شَرِيفٍ. He said that these masakin, these poor people, they thought that a status of prophethood and being a messenger is not deserving except to a person who is honorable. But they said the one problem was, what did they consider honorable? What did they value? He said they valued أَنَّ الرَّجُلَ الشَّرِيفُ هُوَ الَّذِي يَكُونُ كَثِيرُ الْمَالِ وَالْجَاهِ. That the one who is honorable is the one who has a lot of wealth and status and children. And this is what led them astray. Allah says, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكِ. Are they the ones who portion the mercy of your Lord? نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It is we who proportion out between them their livelihood in this world, so that they may employ others even. We give them that much wealth. But because of the mercy of your Lord is better than what they amass. وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. What Allah has proportioned and what Allah has given to you is greater than what people amass thinking that their value is in it. And this is why it's interesting. One day, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu walks in on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that he saw an Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam sleeping on a straw mat that left marks on the skin of Al-Habib alayhi salatu wa sallam. This great man, Umar ibn Khattab, who his presence when he walked in scared people. This man who had a strong demeanor. This man whose presence in Islam is known as Al-Faruq today. His presence is victory. But when he saw his Al-Habib alayhi salatu wa sallam, his beloved, sleeping on a straw mat that left marks on his skin, and his pillow was animal skin that was stuffed with dry date palm tree branches or leaves. And underneath that was a rock, not a sleep mattress bed, not a memory foam pillow, a rock literally underneath animal skin. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu started to cry, being so affected. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, the kings of Rome and Persia have better than this, and you are the greatest and most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu a very powerful lesson. He said, Ya Umar, أَوَ فِي شَكٍ أَنْتَ يَا ابْنِ الْخَطَّابِ. Do you have any doubt, O son of Al-Khattab? Look at the question. Are you doubtful because your prophet is sleeping on this? Are you doubtful of faith? Did you think, just like Quraysh, that wealth and status is what brings contentment? Did you doubt for one moment that just because we may be in this state now, that we are not on the truth? Are you in any type of doubt over this? And the most beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam slept on this. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, أُولَٰئِكَ قَوْمٌ عُجِّلَتْ لَهُمْ طَيِّبَاتُهُمْ فِي حَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. As for those people, they are people whom the enjoyments of this world and the next were hastened only in this world. They will only get the enjoyments in this world. أَمَّا نَحْنُ أَمَا تَرْضَى أَن تَكُونَ لَهُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَنَا الْآخِرَةِ. Ya Umar, aren't you satisfied? Aren't you happy that you might see them as kings in this life, but they will only have it in this life. We will have it in the hereafter. What was the value given? What Allah put value in? What was the contentment in? What Allah put contentment in? That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to one of the companions, مَنْ كَانَتْ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ فَرَّقَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرَهُ. Whoever makes the world their most important matter, you're chasing it constantly, Allah will bring their affairs in disarray. Allah will bring their affairs in disarray. You won't know when you start work, when you end work. You won't know when your loan ends and when it finishes. You won't know when you have the payment you have to pay and the payment that it starts from the next week. When you make the world their most important matter, Allah will bring their affairs in disarray and make poverty appear before their eyes, and they will not get anything from the world except what has been decreed for them. But whoever makes the hereafter their most important matter, Allah will settle their affairs. Give them peace. Give them contentment. Give them happiness. Even though they have all of these things, they live a peaceful life. And make them content in their heart, and the world will come to them, although they don't even want it. The world will come. Positions, status, righteous spouses for your children, honor and dignity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that promise. So what are some of the main issues that we have of not finding some of this value that the companions were taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Number one, comparison. Comparison. We constantly compare what we don't have with somebody else. You bought the new C300, the next year somebody else is going to get something better. You bought a house, someone's, literally one of my friends, he said, I bought a house. It took me blood, guts, and sweat to get this house. When we invited some friends over, you know what they said to me? This is a nice starter house, mashallah. Starter house. He said, La ilaha illallah. This is a starter house to you? Look at the concepts that we have. Look at the perception we have of wealth. Look at what we find value in. He said, this is to me is like, I made it, alhamdulillah. Halal wealth that I worked and sacrificed for, someone downplays it by saying, look at the starter house. And the comparison we make don't end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in that statement of Iblis that he will constantly make us want vain desires of what we don't have. To the extent, why do you think there's so much adultery in our community? Why do you think that is? Because we're constantly seeking something we don't have. You know what the Prophet ﷺ has said? He said, if you're attracted to something on the street, go home, because what she has is the same as what that woman has. Or what that man has is the same as what you have at home. Look at the perception change. Meaning the physical push that you're having has no value or no merit in the contentment and happiness that you're supposed to put in and invest in that relationship. You know why? Because we're constantly comparing. Social media has exacerbated the problem even more. One of the people that I know, he asked me to help him find somebody to marry, and I'm like, I don't do that. That's not my thing. But after like 5 years, he kept asking me, and I finally said, fine, let's help. Let's see what we can do. So we would send, you know, potentials, and he kept saying no to like 15 different women. And I'm like, there's got to be some problem, right? So I said to him, give me an example of somebody you might be interested in, so that we can figure it out. It took 2.3 seconds for an Instagram account to be sent to me. 2.3 of some supermodel. If you look at the person, that's not a human being. I said, you don't want a woman. You want a person with a full-time photography crew and a full-time editing squad. And not only that, they work out 6 months just for one photo shoot to look like that. And not only everything, that's not a human being in the symmetry they put in their faces. So the perceptions of contentment and happiness, even in potentials of our spouses, has changed because of Hollywood and Bollywood and God knows what else. Instagram and all of this stuff has affected all of us in many different ways. Constant comparison. That's why Stanford psychologist Sanja Lubinsky, not that we need her, but she said, focusing on our own personal achievement instead of comparing ourselves to others leads to greater satisfaction. Leads to greater satisfaction. Not only that, forget her. An-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, look at those who are lower than you. Don't look at those who are higher. So that you will not disgrace the blessings of Allah on you. You will disgrace yourself. You will literally, could potentially, a person, if they're constantly seeking what they don't have, might destroy a relationship that someone built with love, seeking a valueless physical connection that ends in 2 minutes. And the regret that seeps in because of that comparison. Another reason is our false priorities. The Prophet ﷺ said, تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّينَارُ وَالدِّرْهَمُ وَالْقَطِيَ وَالْخَمِيسَ إِنْ أَعْطَى رَضِي وَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْطِي لَمْ يُرْضَى. Miserable is the one who worships money. Miserable is the one who worships the gold and silver coins. The one who is after the velvet and long clothing. The newest thing is out, I gotta buy it. $500 shoes, I gotta buy it. $5,000 purses, I gotta buy it. Be happy, be rich, but chasing the world to have the next thing is a problem. Chasing the world to have and want and always be that person is the problem. And that's why the scholars, they taught us, listen, have the best of this world, but keep it in your hand, not in your heart. And the Prophet ﷺ finished it by saying, if they are given of them, they will be satisfied. Meaning what? What did he tell Umar? Do you think that satisfaction in faith is when Muslims are the richest? To some Muslims it is. Islam is not good enough. Why? You know, I wish Islam changed a little bit. I need to be happier, more content. If only Islam allowed me to buy as much with interest as I could. You know, just let's change that. I'll be more happier and content. If they're given, then they will be satisfied, the Prophet said. Look at what the satisfaction is. Value of material gain. And if they are not given from them, they will not be pleased. And lastly, the pain of consequence. The pain of consequence. Some people don't understand when the Prophet ﷺ says, be pleased, and the best person in this world and the treasure they can have is the one that wakes up in the morning content. We don't understand this. So guess what? Consequences we do understand. One of the consequences we may understand is when we keep chasing what we don't have, for example, an element of pornography, do you understand how many health problems have caused from people chasing these things to the extent that they can't have children? Dysfunction in sexuality with a woman they're with, to the extent people come to us and ask the first night they cannot have intercourse with their family. Do you know why? Because their mind is so programmed that the chemicals they send for pleasure has been programmed only for porn. Not a real woman in front of them. And the consequences of that are everlasting. You will see people who don't have children because of this. Who have to result into other forms of looking because of these kind of things. And not only that, a sister recently, she said something very powerful. Today, she said, 5 years, I'm sober today for 5 years. My brain hurts a lot. Honestly, it's hard. Harder perhaps than when it was new and novel, when I quit drugs, thinking that this will give me value, or position, or social clout. Three things only keep me going. My loved ones are happier, I refuse to flush all this effort down the drain, and I don't want to die as an addict. That's all I've got. These are the things she found value in finally. You know what we're not putting value in, brothers and sisters? We're not putting value in the investment of what truly matters. And that is our relationships that are everlasting. That's what this woman found out. When you value the one that you found as a spouse, when you value the hard work you did to find halal, when you value your own self-image, not chasing a fake image, but rectifying some of the things that you need to work on. I need to work out, I'll be honest. Right? I need to lose about 10 to 20 pounds. Some of the people here do too, it's okay. But let's be honest with ourselves. Be happy with who you are. Don't change everything, thinking the contentment is there. When you value those things, then the satisfaction will come. And then investment comes. And the Prophet ﷺ has said about all of these things, that the person, when they're constantly engaged in these, you know, bombardment of materialism, غض بصرك. Lower your gaze. You know, lower your gaze is not just physical, by the way. It's lower your gaze from wanting all this materialism. Lower your gaze from that status. Lower your gaze from wanting social clout. Lower your gaze from teaching your children, be a doctor, be an engineer, for the status, not because they want innovation, not because they want to help people, but you want to give them a status. You're teaching your children, value status, you will be happy. You're not teaching them help people. You're not teaching them be innovative as an engineer, but the status that we value. Lower your gaze from that. Lower your gaze from other people that you've been with a woman for 20, 30 years, 15, 10, even 5, or a man. Invest in that. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Lower your gaze from the dunya. أَقُولِ قَبْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَلَيْكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. One of the greatest scholars, Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, "Ash-sharafu fi tawadu' wal-'izz fi at-taqwa wal-hurriyya fi al-qana'ah." He said, dignity is in humility. Don't walk on this earth. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk on this earth like you own something. Somebody owes you something. Entitlement. I am this from Bani Fulan, Bani Ilan. This is what Quraysh came with. I'm from this tribe, you're from that tribe, I'm from this nationality, which the country was literally 80 years old, versus your country, which is literally 105 years old. What does this matter? And honor is in righteousness. Honor is in righteousness. And freedom is in contentment. Freedom, truly free, is when you're content with who you are, with who you're with what you have, and seeking everything in the way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every single day, he would make a dua. Every single day. He says, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّهِ وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, and Islam as my deen, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my Prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught a dua to help us constantly be and aware of what the dangers of seeking value in other than Islam teaches us. Zayd ibn Alqam Aslam, he narrated that the Prophet ﷺ has said, the Prophet ﷺ would constantly make this dua. He would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa min qalbin la yakhsha' wa min nafsin la tashba' wa min da'watin la yustajabu laha. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowledge that does not benefit, from a heart that does not entertain the fear of Allah, from a soul that is not satisfied, from a soul that chases the $55 cake, from a soul that keeps wanting what others have in comparison, and from a soul that won't learn from the consequences of the pain of indulging in yourself, from a soul that is not satisfied, and the supplication and the dua that is not answered. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم اغفر لنا يا رب العالمين اللهم تب علينا وارحم الموتى يا رب العالمين واشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا يا ارحم الراحمين اللهم انصر اخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم انصر اخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين اللهم حرر المسجد الاقصى من رجس الصهاينه المحتلين اللهم ارزقنا الصلاه في المسجد الاقصى يا رب العالمين اللهم كن مع اخواننا المستضعفين في اليمن وفي الصومال وفي افريقيا الوسطى وفي بورما وارزق اخواننا في افغانستان الامن والامان يا رب العالمين وانصر اخواننا المستضعفين في الصين وفي كشمير يا رب العالمين اللهم تب علينا وارزقنا القناعه يا رب العالمين وارزقنا الرضا اللهم اني اعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوه لا يستجاب لها واقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لكم فاستغفروه انه هو الغفور الرحيم واقيموا الصلاه. While you're standing, inshallah, the announcements I forgot to make. Tonight, inshallah, the Al-Maghrib Institute will have a class that I will be presenting called Succession, the Rise of Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It's about the life of Abu Bakr and Umar. It will be at 7 to 10 p.m. today, inshallah. And then Saturday and Sunday as well at the IOC Extension. And then the masjid is doing a youth trip to Knott's Berry Farm tomorrow, Saturday. If you'd like to buy tickets, please visit the office. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الله أكبر الله أكبر